We consider, evaluate, and postulate everything. Welcome to Capacity Cast with your hosts, Michael and Scott. Let's get started.
We're talking about developing apps, native tools versus cross-platform tools. Do you develop apps?
I do. I've done quite a few Android apps in the native tools. Through the years, it first was using something called Eclipse as an IDE, and that was pretty rough. But now it's using Android Studio, which is a little better.
Just a little better?
Yeah, just a little bit. How about you?
Done some iOS back in the day, iOS 3. Haven't done too much lately, but I follow what's going on with the tools a lot. I guess this isn't directly related, but I thought that the jump to Android Studio was developers really liked it because they liked the Java editor underneath.
Well, I can get to that.
Okay.
Why do native?
Yeah, why? Well, who wants to do native and who doesn't want to do native? That's a question.
With native, you have access as intended to all of the features of whatever device you're developing on.
Right.
And it should hopefully just work, but there's a lot of caveats to that. With the cross-platform, you're hopefully developing for multiple devices across different manufacturers, so Apple and Android and Windows Phone, if that still exists, and BlackBerry, if that still exists. I don't think it does. I think it's Android now.
Sure. Whatever weird Samsung car play languages systems they have.
Do you want to go over your specific forays into that?
Oh, sure. I used to do some custom iOS app development and back in the day. It was several years ago at this point, but at the time, your choices were to do native iOS programming with Objective-C, which is pretty low-level language, with some help from Apple, with some libraries.
Yeah.
But then the cross-platform alternative at the time was mostly, I'm going to say the wrong thing, Cordova or PhoneGap, which was essentially a bad web browser.
Yeah, it's a container for HTML5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then there were some compilers that would take other languages and they would make something that would technically run, but they didn't really have support for all the native tools.
Wasn't there some legal issue in the past with Apple not letting people run anything but compiled code?
There was. Yeah, they were, and they still do things like they'll make it hard for you to swap something out live.
So that's one negative, potentially.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I guess as far as native versus cross-platform, I see two reasons people do it. One is to try to hit multiple targets with the same code base, and the other is to just try to use a language that they are more comfortable with.
Yep. And makes sense.
I don't know if those are always the same.
Those sound like, I doubt they're always the same, but those are two solid reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I could see doing it.
But I think a challenge is that these are not mature technologies and they're still changing a lot.
Even though they've been going for years. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
I mean,
One of the main issues is that these platforms are always changing, which even causes problems. I'll get to it with the Android stuff. But when you've got this other group of people trying to stay up with the actual real stuff, you know, the real official stuff, mm-hmm. it just adds more problems.
Definitely. And on top of that, I think you end up needing to be an expert in two languages and two systems often, mm-hmm. because you can't, like you said, you can't do everything.
Yeah.
In one.
It doubles your development time if you do native for everything.
I guess what I wonder is in the future, if we will get to a point where it's mature enough that there are a lot of different ways to develop and the APIs and
That'd
the features
nice.
Don't change that much.
Yeah. The problem is I don't really foresee those mobile platforms, which is basically a phone most of the time. You've got the tablets too, mm-hmm. and some other ones that show up. But I don't see it stopping the cycle of it kind of redeveloping itself and giving new features and having all the bugs that magically show up in even new builds and everything. So I think it's pretty unlikely we'll see some type of slowing down of the development environments and everything.
Right.
That will get the cross-platform to be really equal with the native stuff.
I agree. Now, one area I do think cross-platform is helpful for is prototyping, mm-hmm. and making, kind of demonstrating your technology.
Okay.
Do
you have any specific cross-platform work or anything like that you've done?
Yes, there's a cross-platform JavaScript library called React Native.
Yeah.
it compiles to...
Is that the Facebook one?
Mm-hmm.
I looked at that recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A little bit of that compiles to iOS and Android.
Okay.
It's lacking still a bit on the Android side, and it's definitely more appropriate for situations where, A, you're doing a pretty basic application, or at least parts of it are
basic.
Well,
what do you think the Messenger and Facebook app are made in? Are they using that? Or?
They are. They're okay. Using it for a lot of that.
But so Facebook, you can definitely do a lot.
But Facebook is... I guess that's another thing. I mean, sometimes the use cases that these cross-platform tools are designed for are just not applicable for most developers. I know in Facebook's case, they have, real quick for the listener, React is essentially a components library. And so say that you have a modal pop-up, mm-hmm. you'll have, you know, the box component, and inside it might have an inner box component, and then you'll have a button component, and the button will have a text component. And so it's this nested layer going all the way down. In Facebook's case, they have an internal library of something like 30,000 of these components. They'll have up to 1,000 engineers, I'm told, working on these applications.
Yeah.
But that's the person working on, you know, the tooltip pop-up, do everything without worrying about what's going on, you know.
Each device.
Yeah. And even elsewhere on the screen on the same device. It's really granularly divided.
From what I've read, you can actually push the native code into it as well, so you've got the best of both worlds, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely. But I think that's the kind of case where you need to be an expert in React, and you need to be an expert than iOS.
Although the main thing, at least from what I've read, I haven't got into the development environment or anything, you're really not going to have one piece of code that'll work for both. A good amount of the time, you'll still have to do separate things for each system, you know, the Apple and Android. So it's not a perfect solution, but it'll at least help you get some basic stuff mm-hmm. done once. So that's good in that case.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's tough for a small team to make use of that when it ends up being a pretty complex system just to be able to write in React. And so that sort of wipes out, in my opinion, the cost-saving angle on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it definitely works for some bigger companies. And I know they use it for some of their Instagram views and Netflix mobile app, I want to say, has a lot of React in it.
Can you think of anyone's offhand, any other ones?
There's a regional option. It's a company in Madison called Ionic. What they do, they kind of are the Angular counterpart to React.js. So they use AngularJS, which is more of a kitchen sink type JavaScript library. They do native compilation. Again, they support iOS and Android, but they're further along with iOS than with Android.
Okay.
And they also have an additional challenge that they are not the company that develops AngularJS. Mm-hmm. So wherever Angular goes, they need to go.
Yeah, they're a little forced unless they branch it or something, and then they won't get any new stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Although it is technically AngularJS code, my understanding from my limited experience with it is that it's not really... React Native code is more in common with React.js web code than Angular and Ionic has with an Angular web app, because they're just doing completely different things.
All right. I'd like to have the cross-platform tools that just work and everything, but I still haven't gotten that much into them. So there are a lot of them, and then each one seems to have a caveat of some form, which makes it unappealing.
Mm-hmm.
The main one that I've looked at is the C# one, Xamarin.
Yeah, sorry. No,
is that how you say it?
Xamarin, like xylophone, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's how you say it. I've looked at that one, and it seems appealing. I might eventually try to use it because I do have a lot of hassles with the Android environment. Mentioned I did use it back when it was on Eclipse, which had so many little issues and hassles. Mm-hmm. But even with Android Studio, the SDK and the environment, they constantly update. It's changing all the time.
Yes.
I developed part of a video game just using the basic drawing functions in the Android API. And I found out somewhat recently that when I was developing for a physical Lenovo tablet, it worked just fine, but then I ran an emulated version through, you know, the IDE, and it had formatting issues with the display, and so that really should not happen when you're doing things like that. It's either my code, I'm using it wrong for how it should be used, or some other issue, but it's a native development environment mm-hmm. and native code. It should just work, so I'm not too thrilled with Android's native stuff.
Now, this is sort of a, not exactly a programming app, aspect, but it's a bit of psychology on the part of people who strongly advocate for cross-platform tools that kind of bugs me. They have a belief that the design and basic functionality of apps is going to stop mattering, that they'll all start to look the same and it won't really matter. Yeah,
it'll even change between Android versions, and it does.
And people want, they want better and better interfaces.
That would be debatable, in my opinion.
Well, they want things that work better for them, and they don't really want to have to think about it.
Well, I mean, the difference between whatever Android version and the few afterwards doesn't necessarily get better, but sometimes it does.
That's true. I just think it's kind of a funny belief that it's almost like there's an element to advocating for cross-platform that wants the work to become a commodity and not really matter anymore, which I find to be kind of an odd thing for a developer to think. But I guess that's kind of a business-friendly opinion to have.
So, all right. Anyway. Do you have any preferences or what you would like to happen?
What would I like to happen? You know, I think that iOS programming, I think programming in Swift is a great experience. I know people have complaints about Xcode, but it's just wonderful.
Okay.
And so I would really like Apple ecosystem and Apple products to continue to become better and better. And my hope is that, regardless of that, that Apple and Google and Microsoft are able to innovate so quickly that they keep putting the cross-platform tools out of business, or at least making it difficult for them to keep up. Because it's, I mean, a lot of innovation, which is good for everybody.
So is Swift and specifically an Apple thing, or does it have any type of open source component?
It does have some kind of experimental non-Apple applications, but for now, for the most part, it's used to make programming.
So it likely won't be a cross-platform thing in the future?
It may. I mean, I think it will become one of the... It already is a very popular language just from being Apple only.
And
I think it'll continue to grow, but the main thing is right now that it just makes it way easier to do native programming in Apple in a way that makes sense for people.
So I'd prefer cross-platform to just work and there would be solutions available because I could do one thing and just work. I'd love that. That's really it.
I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Capacity Cast. You can hear more episodes at CapacityCast.com.